Hello, welcome to Creating Entertaining Characters for Mixed Reality. I'm Floyd Bishop, and I'm going to go over some things that you want to keep in mind when planning characters for mixed reality purposes. This is not a technical tutorial on how to sculpt characters. It's not a software specific thing. It's more of an overview to kind of give you an idea of things that you want to keep in mind when you're trying to make entertaining characters for mixed reality purposes. So let's get started. Well, first you have to think, what do we have to work with in mixed reality? We have varying degrees of resolution in headsets, different degrees of freedom. Sometimes people are on a phone, sometimes people are on a PC, sometimes people are in full virtual reality with controllers in their hands. Sometimes they are on a HoloLens or a similar device. Sometimes there's hand tracking, sometimes there's eye tracking, and sometimes you've got characters and users that are experiencing the same thing with mixed abilities based on their input. So you have to kind of take a step back and think, what is the intent of the experience? And are these different experiences going to have to kind of merge together, or are you creating for one specific thing? So if you know that all of your users are going to be able to have hand tracking and full finger tracking, then you can plan for that with your characters. But if you don't know what they're going to have or what their level of input is, you want to keep that in mind. And you need to have some sort of workaround for things so that if characters can't pose their hands, people can't move their hands with their real hands, maybe there's a button on a controller that allows them to point, or maybe there's some kind of like button where it poses their face for them because they don't have the ability to do that within the experience. Now, you always want to work within your technical limits. So usually coming into the experience, you have some or all of these inputs from the user. So you may know the head position. You may know the hand position, including fingers in some cases. You may know if there's eye tracking, like on HoloLens 2, we can track the pupils so you know where they're looking. Even though their head is pointed somewhere, you can see what their eyes are doing. Sometimes you have limited information. If you're on a phone and your user is on a phone, maybe they are just a point in space that can kind of orbit around and look at things. They don't have any hands, they don't have any head necessarily. Sometimes you have combinations of all of the above. Sometimes you've got a situation where you have one hand and not two, depending on how the user has their system set up. You also have to think about the power of the machine you're running this on. So, how many characters can you fit in an experience? How many joints can you have in a skeleton? How many polygons can you have in your character? Are you going to have support for particles, things like that in your experience? These are all going to come into play when you're designing. And while they may seem like hard limits, you can creatively work around a lot of these. So maybe if you know your poly count is going to be very low, you can design your characters with a strong silhouette that doesn't require a lot of shapes. So if you think of how much they can do with Minecraft characters, I mean, that is very limited polygonal information. Everything's blocky and it fits with the world, but because that art style has carried across everything, you don't question that those characters belong in that world. They're seated in there. It looks like they belong there. And then you look at something where you've got a much higher poly count. Maybe that allows you to do more things with the characters. Like if you're going to be able to move hands and things like that and kind of wiggle your fingers, you're going to need the poly count there to allow for that flexibility and that range of motion. So you want to keep that in mind. Also, sometimes you can work around things with joint count where maybe you don't have bones in every finger. Maybe you've got kind of a mitt support where you've got a bone for the thumb and a bone for the index finger, and then one bone drives the middle ring and pinky finger. We used to do a lot of that kind of thing in early video game development where you'd have just one joint that drives a lot of things, and through your skin weighting, you kind of get that flexibility that you need. So, I mean, those are just some things you can think about when you're creating your characters. You also have to think about how the user is going to embody the avatar. If you've got a situation where you know that you can track their hands and that's important to your experience, then you're going to want to put a lot of effort and time into rigging the hands up and making them look nice and allowing them to do as much as possible. If you've got a situation where you're on a phone and your character doesn't have hands, you don't have to worry about it because there's no hands. But if you're on a keyboard, maybe you don't have the fidelity that you would have for regular hand tracking. So in that situation, maybe you come up with a series of hand poses to allow for different positions and things. So you could point, thumbs up, stuff like that. You also want to keep in mind that when you have a mixed experience, you don't want users to feel like it's a less of an experience because of their hardware or their situation, even if that is the case. A phone can't do what a high-end PC with a full VR setup can do. And that's a very different experience than, a mixed reality experience where you've got a HoloLens on your head and you can see the real world. So if you're kind of mixing these worlds together, you have to try to find a good balance between what's possible on the device and then what makes the experience feel good. And then how do you make all of the users feel like equal citizens in that world? You don't want to kind of hamstring your characters or your users so that they resent the experience or don't want to partake in it because they don't have the fuller experience that someone else might. So it's a little bit of a balancing act in that regard too. So first you want to think about what is the purpose of the experience. And if it's an entertainment thing or it's a teaching thing, maybe the instructor needs a character with full fidelity, but the student characters are basically just going to sit and listen. They maybe don't need the same level of detail or abilities that the instructor has or the presenter has. You always want to play to the strengths of the experience. So you have to think about the intent. Like I said, is this a play space? Is it a formal meeting? Is it a performance space with an audience? Are there special requirements that the avatars need to be able to do? So if you need to be able to pick something up and throw it, maybe you need that fidelity in the hands. And maybe in your character design, the hands become very important because they're going to be very expressive and help kind of show the user and other users what that person's intent is. Maybe if you're working on something and the hands aren't as important, like you might grab something, but you don't show the grasp. You just kind of push a button and it pops into your hand. Then maybe the hands aren't as important. You're just doing major poses and you can kind of downplay the hands. Maybe they're a little bit smaller. Maybe they're, a more muted color or something to kind of like downplay their importance. If you're in an experience where you're sharing things together, then that also comes into there's a lot of technical limitations and technical things that you have to think about. So how do you take a physics object and put that across multiple experiences? If you've got a room of 70 people and they're bouncing a beach ball across all those 70 people, how do you make sure the beach ball appears in the same place for each person who's in the experience at the time? There's a lot of kind of outside of the character realm, there's a lot of networking and development issues that kind of come into play there with that. So faces are very important. When you are talking to someone in real life, usually you look at their face, especially the eyes. So you want to take time to kind of make them important in your experience. How do you make the face is going to depend on what the intent of your experience is. So if you're in an experience and you want to do a lot of like talking and you want people to kind of interact and things, the face is going to be very important. If it's more of a training thing and it's more about what you're doing with your hands and the order of how you put something together or something, maybe faces aren't important at all. You can get by with a character that's just got like a full face helmet or something where a face doesn't move. So you want to prioritize based on the intent of your experience. How detailed do we make the face? Well, you're going to want to make sure that the face has, eyes that can look around if that's important. Do you have mouth movements? How does the mouth going to move? Are you trying to replicate reality? Are you going to take the time to make some kind of really nice skin shader that reacts well to the light? And, that may be taxing on the machine, and you have to make decisions based on the capabilities of the experience and the devices that the experiences are being experienced on. Does the cost of a skin shader, is it worth it? when you could spend that processing on maybe a couple more joints in your hand, or something like that. How much stylization is too much? So if you've got a little emoji face, maybe that's enough to get the point across, but maybe you want more subtlety in the face. Maybe you want to be able to show some brow movement, or when someone's speaking, you want them to be able to do a full range of motion. Now, if you think of like the Muppets or Sesame Street or something, where you've just got to open and close for the mouth, they get a lot of acting out of just that one joint in the face to open and close the mouth. A lot of it is the posture that the characters held. If they're looking up, they're hopeful or dreamy. If they're looking down, they're sad or maybe sleepy. You can kind of bring some of that methodology into your own experiences. And a lot of puppetry stuff works great in virtual reality because that's really what you're doing. You're creating a virtual puppet, an embodiment of a real person in a virtual environment. So things like, how do the hands work? If you've got tracking for the hands and you know where the hand is and you know where the head is, but that's it because we're not tracking the body, how do you connect those? Maybe you've got a body that kind of hangs loose underneath the head since you know where the head is. And if you know where the body is because you know where the head is, now I know where the shoulder is, I can connect the hand to the shoulder to kind of make a floppy arm. And then that works a lot like the rod puppets that you'd see where someone is operating the head with their right hand and they're moving the arms of the character with their left hand with a rod in the hand of the puppet. And then that little floppy bit between the hand, between the wrist and the shoulder would just be some sort of like simulated material of some kind. So there's a lot you can do with faces. Again, it depends on the intent. If you're tracking eyeballs, you can map that to your own character's eyeballs and you can see where they're looking in the experience, which is pretty cool. Speaking of eyes, you want to focus those. So if you look at this image here, the image on the left is kind of how the character might be modeled, which is this, everything's mirrored, it's equal distant. This character has like railroad track eyes where they're completely parallel to each other. The only difference between the image on the left and the image on the right is the pupil position. So if you take those pupils and kind of focus them in, imagine like a triangle where the left eye and the right eye focus on a point that's about 3 feet in front of the character. That's enough to give you a character that is engaging and looks like it's thinking and it doesn't look cold or creepy, or the character doesn't seem dead. It takes a couple minutes to make that change, and it really improves a lot. You see a lot of stuff in VR where the characters seem very kind of cold and machiney, and sometimes that's the reason, is because their eyes are not focused on anything. Even if you're not tracking the characters, even if the eyes are permanently in that position, you can get a lot out of it. Like if you think of some of the Muppets and things like that, where the characters never blink, some of them, just focusing the eyes is enough to make them look alive. And your brain kind of forgives the fact that they're not blinking, especially when it's a stylized character. You can get away with a lot. So you want to keep that in mind and always keep the focus of what the intent of your experience is. Hands are kind of a big deal in virtual reality. And again, it depends on what you're doing in the experience. Are you going to be grabbing things? Can you make simple gestures? Do you need moderation because of that? If somebody makes a rude hand gesture or starts to grab other people in the experience, you're not going to want that necessarily. So that brings in a whole other layer of things you have to think about. Another thing is, how do you accommodate for users with no or limited mobility? If you've got a user that's got some reason that they can't use their hands, either technological reason they don't have hand input, or some physical issue where they can't use their hands, how do you get around that? What do you do to kind of make the experience equal for everyone? And maybe in the future we'll have the technological ability to replicate sign language. Hand tracking is getting very, very good. HoloLens 2 has some great hand tracking. I can foresee a time where sign language could be something that we see in virtual reality. It's not quite there yet, but it's amazing how far the technology has come in the last few years. With that fidelity, though, comes a lot of rigging that you need to do so that the characters can make those poses. So not just opening and closing hands, but also splaying the hands apart so you can widen the fingers and widen your grip, or posing the hand so that if you touch your pinky to your thumb, you get that kind of cupping of the hand, which is often overlooked in CG for simpler projects. Again, depending on the needs of the project, yours may require more or less fidelity in the hands. And lastly, bodies. Bodies vary in virtual reality quite a bit. Sometimes you've got a full body avatar, sometimes you've got just a floating head and hands, sometimes you've got arms and things. Things to think about when you're working with bodies is heights. How tall are characters? In a virtual reality setting, we know how tall you are from the floor because we know where your head is because you're wearing a headset. When you're on a PC or on a phone or something, we can't know how tall you are. So we just make guesses and then kind of average it out in the experience. That also brings in mobility concerns. So if you're working with someone who's in a wheelchair or someone who has trouble walking or standing, how does the experience kind of accommodate for that? How do you make that user's experience as rich as everyone else's? Can you alter from what you are in reality? Some people want to look exactly like they are in the real world. So if you've got some sort of customization, we can choose skin tone and gender and hairstyle and size of the nose, what you're wearing, things like that. Some people want to make themselves in virtual reality. Some people don't want to look anything like they do in the real world, where they want to pick an opposite gender, or they want to have a different hairstyle, or just for whatever reason look completely different than they do in real life. How do you kind of accommodate for that? And then some people want some in-between things. So maybe they want to look exactly like they do in real life, but now they're taller, or they're a little more buff, or they've got a different haircut, or they've got a full beard or something. These are all things to think about when you're making your experience. You want to be able to give the user a way to express themselves and a way to kind of navigate through the environment in a way that makes sense for the experience. So if it's a acting thing and they have to do virtual charades or something, you're going to want to give them a lot of fidelity in their character so they can do a lot of poses like they would do in the real world. If it's the kind of thing where they're just attending a meeting in virtual reality and they're basically just there to look around and listen, then you probably don't even need hands or anything in that situation. You're just basically a point space with a microphone so you can hear people talking. Again, it depends on your experience and what you're making and how you mix the two. Some of the harder things to do in virtual reality and mixed reality are full bodies where you've got a character that's standing. So in most situations, we're tracking the head and the hands, and that's it. We're not tracking the bodies. So how do you know where to have the character stand, or what are their legs doing? If they get lower in the scene, are they bending over? Are they squatting down? Are they sleeping? How do you know that? And how do you make educated guesses? And then how do you get that information back onto the character so that their virtual character does a representation of what they're trying to make it do in real life? Those are all things you have to think about when you're making this stuff. And it's not always easy. Sometimes you end up with these weird edge cases where, that's not what I'm trying to make my character do. Or one of the controllers dies mid session because their battery went out or something, and now they've got a hand that's locked in space that's just floating there. Or they've got their controllers in the wrong hands to start with, so their left hand is on their right and their right hand is on their left. Usually you can kind of see that pretty quick if you're the user and then quick switch them. But those are all things that can happen and happen frequently in virtual reality that you want to kind of think about when you're making your experiences. And it's not always easy. The best thing to do is kind of gray box your experience and get stuff in as early as possible and try it out and see how it feels. If you get in there in early days of the project and you say, well, I really wish I could, turn my head separately from what my body's doing, or I really wish I could pick this up and then make a fist with my hand, or I really wish that when I looked around in real life, my character's eyes were looking around so that other people could see what I was looking at. Those are all questions you're going to have to ask yourself, and the designers of the projects are going to have to kind of fight for what they think is important in the experience, and then kind of put development resources toward that in that direction. And your character designs and everything should kind of come from that. What does the project need to do? So things like the sizes of heads, the look of the final look of the character, the faces. Poly count is gonna, maybe a more stylized character, more cartoony, which I'm not a big fan of that word, but a more stylized character could benefit from a lower poly count. Whereas if you're trying to do ultra realism and you've got a very, very limited poly count, you're gonna have a hard time trying to make that look as real as possible. Those are all things you're gonna want to think about when you're making entertaining characters for virtual reality and mixed reality. Some of the experiences that I've seen do it really well. Are experiences where they have multiple users with multiple types of input, and somehow it all just kind of works. Where someone on a phone has a very enriched experience, and a rewarding experience right alongside someone who's got the latest and greatest headset and controllers set up. Yeah, you want to try to make it as good as possible for everybody across the board. And this is my email, flbishop@microsoft.com. If you've got any questions about creating entertaining characters, again, this is just an overview. It's not a tutorial. It's just things to think about when you're developing your virtual reality and mixed reality characters. But my email address is there. If you've got any questions, please feel free to email me, ask anything, and I'll answer everything I can. And speaking of answering things, any questions? We've got some time for questions. If you want to just put them in the chat here, and then I will answer them after the experience. And again, if you didn't get your question answered or you have a follow-up or something, you can always email me at my email address, flbishop@microsoft.com. I'd be happy to answer anything and everything that I can. Thank you.